Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to take a shift this morning. This is the title of a series of messages that we're going to have as we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit called Word Pictures of Truth. I have no idea how long it's going to last. I want to just be obedient to the Lord as I pray and seek the Lord about these. This may be the only one, or it may be several. We'll see. Is that okay? Is it okay with you if we just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit around here? Good. Let's see if this works. There we go. Back. Parables. Parables. Really, the English dictionary actually has the Greek word listed in it in Webster's dictionary because they're very much the same. It means to compare, a short story that illustrates a moral attitude or religious principle. Jesus was very, very careful about his use of parables. In Mark chapter 4, verse 33, you can read, it says, let me get down there. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. The parables really kind of give pause because they were very explicit. They gave a lot of information, but if the Holy Spirit was not guiding and directing, it was difficult to understand the meaning. Even the disciples themselves did not understand most of the parables until Jesus explained them to him. The other passage is actually in chapter 4, beginning in verse number 10. It says, when he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked about the parables. He told them, the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. He's quoting there Isaiah 6, 9. That's kind of a strange statement there because you would think he came ministering to affect the lives of people, and yet he says, I'm telling them the information in parables lest they understand readily and receive the benefit. You think, why wouldn't he want them to receive the benefit? Why wouldn't he just speak it plainly to them? Anybody else have that question? Yeah, I mean, you see, the fate of the nation of Israel had already been set. Judgment was prescribed for them. It had already been prophesied and it had already been set. Jesus did not want them just accepting his words. He was insisting upon them accepting him. That hasn't changed. To be filled with words does not get us to heaven. We often think just coming to church. Well, I've been going to church for 35 years. Surely I'm going to heaven. Well, not necessarily. Because there's ever hearing, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Because the knowledge of the truth, the understanding comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes by accepting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are dependent upon our Lord to know and to understand. Today, this study is going to be Christ word pictures of truth. This parable, actually, I was set and I was preparing because in my heart, I wanted to begin this series with the prodigal son. And for several nights, I was reading over and over again the parable of the prodigal son, and it just wasn't feeling right in my spirit. I'm like, okay, am I not supposed to do this series of messages? So I began to question it. And then all of a sudden, I came across something that mentioned that this parable, the parable of the sower, is the primary parable upon which all of the other parables set. So, you know, being the good pastor that I am, I told the Lord, well, just 2 years ago, I preached from this passage. He wasn't impressed. As I began to read through it, I began to understand why this needed to be our first parable. Because truly, all the other parables and the teachings of Jesus rest upon this parable. So we'll take a look at Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. I hope you have your Bibles this morning. Open them up. We're going to be looking at several passages. But let's read the first 9 verses here. And feel free to read out loud with me. It helps you track along, and so you're not visiting with one another. Or, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. We had to boost our signal on our internet in order to be able to get our upload for all of our online things because so many people were searching the internet while church was going on. It was eating up our signal. So actually, it cost us $200 more a month in order to do that, but it's important to us to be getting the word out of this house. You might track along for 30 or 40 minutes here along with us. It might just add something to your life. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and set in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can come in obedience to your Spirit and study your word. It always says to me, Lord, that there's something that will be said. In the foolishness of preaching, there will be something said, something about this text that will have life meaning to some person or persons who will hear. I pray that that would be so this morning, that our hearts and our minds would be tuned to your Holy Spirit, and that we would receive what you have for us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first part of this picture is directed at the sower. Jesus begins the picture with the image of the farmer sowing the seed. Kind of let your imagination take hold for a moment and imagine what this looked like. Jesus came to speak to the people, but as he began to speak, the crowd grew larger and larger. They're standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He turns and there's a boat So he steps into the boat and tells whoever's in charge of the boat to move it out away from the shore, thus allowing the people to come up to along the edge of the water. So now picture this, beautiful, beautiful day. Obviously, the water was calm enough for him to be able to stand there in the boat. So a placid sea, beautiful blue water reflecting the sun, reflecting the blue sky. Stretched before Jesus is this crowd of people. And beyond them would be the open fields. Very possible that just behind them, there's a farmer out there sowing seed upon the ground. All of his parables were relevant to what was going on so that the people could visually see it. They could be captured by it. We come to understand from Jesus' explanation that the sower is the preacher. That's found in verse number 14. We'll see more of that in just a moment. But we understand that that sower is the preacher or the purveyor of the word. On this day, Jesus was the preacher. Note, if you will, that the emphasis in this parable is not on the sower. He tells us who the sower is. He tells us what the sower is doing, but he does not spend any time in all of this passage, in all of these verses, talking about the sower. The sower is simply doing what must be done in order to see a harvest. I've talked to many farmers. I had several in my church in West Lafayette. And though through a long winter time, they would be kind of anxious about getting into their fields, they did not have the same anxiousness that they had at harvest. I had some who were older in age, and they had workers that worked for them. And quite often, they would just let their farm people do all of the planting. But when it came harvest time, they always spent their time, no matter how old they were, they always spent their time in the combine pulling the harvest back out of the field. You see, every farmer plants with one purpose in mind. Not just the love of throwing seed, but for the sake of the harvest. Now, we need to understand that as farmers. You probably didn't realize we're all farmers in here. Because we have all been given the responsibility of being sowers of the seed of the gospel. He's not said to possess any particular skill in his work. He scatters the seed. Because the farmer's hope is not in the sowing, but rather his hope is in the anticipation of the harvest. We need to get that inside of us, church. Sometimes we put way too much emphasis on how we're going to plant the seeds. You really don't see in the scripture him telling us to plant the seeds of the word of God into a person's life. He commissions us to scatter the seed. How many know the difference between planting and scattering? Yeah, huge difference. When you go out to plant grass seed, how many have done that before? Planted some grass seed? Do you take individual pieces of that grain and stick it down in there? Here, I want another one over here. Oh, I need hundreds here. Boy, this is going to be terrible. Breaking up the soil and putting them in one at a time. There's no hope in that. Rather, you come out, you take a spreader or you take your hand and you cast it out. The seed falls where it will. You know that some of it's going to fall where there's already grass growing. But you are anticipating that in casting that seed in the general direction of the bare spot, that enough of that seed is going to be there. It will survive the birds and all of that stuff. that some of it's going to make it down into the soil. And when you water it and turn around a few days, a few weeks later, you're going to have grass growing in that spot. Am I right? Why aren't we handling the gospel in the same way? Scattering the seed. Putting the gospel out for all to hear. You say, well, yeah, but I don't need to be sowing into people's life that already know the word of God. Well, you don't need to be putting grass seed on top of grass that already has grass. Huh? Come on, think about it a little bit. You see, there's an enormous truth in this for us. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, this year I want to see certain people come to the Lord. And so I'm going to be planting the seed of the Lord into their life. Well, you know, that's fine. But you may be missing out on a larger crop if you would learn to just begin to scatter the seed. Put it out there. Whosoever will, place it before them that they might receive the seed. Who knows? You may be wanting this person here. I desperately want this person here to get saved. But this one over here just might if I'm scattering the seed. Amen? Okay. He next introduces the seed. The seed is identified by explanation in verse number 14 as the word. I imagine most of you in here have heard this parable before and you know all of this, but he was introducing a whole thought and concept to his disciples and to the people as he's putting it out there. The seed is the word. Here's a fact. The seed is first the farmers. The word of God is first ours. It has to be affecting our lives. It needs to be in our hands. That farmer needs to know if he's wanting corn to come up that he needs to plant seed corn. He can't throw wheat out there and expect corn to come up. So why is this important to us? We need to understand. We cannot with this hand be spreading the gospel and with this hand spreading garbage. Or could we say weeds? I don't know about your yard, but weeds grow faster in my yard than grass. I've always been amazed at that. I'll put out grass seed early, thinking, okay, I've got that bad spot covered now. It's got grass seed, it's got fertilizer, it's got all that wet stuff, it's got everything on top of it. And I do not sow a single weed. But I'll turn around a week later and the weeds are covering the yard. I pull back that wet blanket thing and there's not a single thing happening. Weeds grow faster than seed, grass seed. There's a truth for you. And garbage is received quicker and easier than the Word of God. It's a reality. So if you and I are not, as farmers, careful about the seed that is in our hands continually. And here's the thing. See, you're sowing continually into your world. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. So every word that comes out of your mouth as you go through your life is scattering seed. Did you do that? I didn't do that. It was pretty neat, though. It woke everybody up. Every word that comes out of our mouth is scattering seed. The question is, what kind of seed? When you get on the internet, or doing it on your phone, it's seed going out. I could literally show you this morning on Facebook, where one tweet will be a scripture and the next one will be garbage. Politics, some kind of, you know, whatever. We need to understand, folks, that the seed is first the farmers. You're the one that's choosing the seed that is going to be cast on the soil of people's lives around this. You got that? Everybody got that? Oh, so important, not just to remember here on Sunday morning while you're sitting in the pew, but tomorrow will be really cool to remember that you have the seed in your hand. And you know, here's the crazy part. We can sow the garbage, the weeds, so easily without thought. Oh, I didn't even think that that caused trouble. But it's like the word of God. We think, if I do this, then they'll think poorly of me. That's the enemy. That's the enemy playing tricks with the mind of the farmer. What if the farmers out here who are farming our fields, what if they bought the seed corn and things and thought, oh man, I just don't know. If I put this out there, I don't know what will happen to it. Huh? Maybe they're sowing soybeans and they say, well, last year's crop, I put out corn last year. Oh my goodness, what happens if a corn stalk comes up in the middle of it? See it all the time, don't you? You know, he's not worried over that. He's going to plant that soybeans out there, and he won't worry about it until harvest time. When he comes through, he will harvest beans, and the rest of it will go out the back of the combine. Jesus said that's the way it's all going to be. Church, we need to understand the power that we have. You are powerful. Your words are powerful. And you and I are powerful in the sowing of the seed of the Word of God and of the weeds. Let me build truth for just a moment. If the farmer is the preacher and the purveyor of the seed, and the seed is the Word of God, then the farmer must know the seed. In other words, it has to be in you. It won't come out unless it's in you. So if we're concerned about it, we need to get it inside us. Okay? He must know what kind of seed that he has, and he must know what the seed will produce. I'm talking to you this morning about an opportunity that God has given to us to change the world. Your world, the one that only you live in, your family, your friends, your co-workers, the people that you and you alone will touch, who will never hear my voice. You're the preacher. You're the sower of the seed. I guess before we move on, the question has to come, what seed are you sowing? What are they hearing from you? There we go. If the seed is the farmer's, has it been lost to the harvest? If the seed is all the farmer has, it will be lost to the harvest. In other words, if all you have is seed and you hoard it, then it's lost to the harvest. You understand what I'm saying? If you take your seed and you just enjoy it yourself, you do not cast it out to anyone else, then it is lost to a harvest. Jesus talks about 30, 60, 100-fold. Yours will be one, me. That's what many people do. They come into the house of the Lord. They hear the word of God. They tuck it away inside of them and never, ever, ever give it away to anyone else. The harvest is lost to that person. You see, I came to the understanding a long time ago that I have a responsibility to whoever is sitting in front of me, that I need to give them everything that God has given to me. however long it takes, no matter how many walk out, no matter what happens, I have to release everything that the Lord has given to me. You have the same responsibility. You are given the Word of God not to just hold on to and have your own storehouse for you and yours, but you have the Word of God to cast it out to others. Think of it in this way, that every sermon that you hear, every sermon, everything that you read of truth of the Word of God that you receive, you should be giving to someone else. If not, you have just killed the harvest. Quiet now. Too many believers have forgotten that God has called them to be spiritual farmers. Just go, oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, that was a marvelous truth. Thank you, Pastor. I really enjoyed that. Oh, man. Best book. I just read this book. It just filled me up. Oh, my goodness. It's so great. Just so great. Nothing wrong with being blessed. Nothing wrong with being fed. Nothing wrong with enjoying the refreshing of the Lord. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. But folk, we're not given this to set on, to hold on to just enjoy ourselves. It's to be given away. I can tell you're really shouting over this. It's grand. Jesus said, some fell. It speaks of the randomness of the sowing. Once again, we often say, well, I'm targeting certain people. You can target certain people. Just like I have that patch of ground that's bare in my yard, I'm going to target that, but I'm not going to simply put seed there. I'm going to cast the seed out so that it falls in an area around it. I think the point here is just in the words. Cast the seed. Don't try to plant the seed. Because see, unfortunately, we don't know whether the heart has been prepared to receive it or not. That's where the analogy falls apart, because I can prepare the soil. I can take a rake or whatever, and I can stir up the ground and everything, and I can get my soil ready to receive whatever I throw on top of it. But you see, you can't do that for somebody else. So your hope is in getting enough seed onto that spot and to cast enough seed broadly so that you have a harvest of souls. I'm going to say something, but this is not a criticism, but it's an opportunity. And that is, too many Christians are going to go to heaven by themselves. If they make it to heaven, they're going to be standing up there and they will not be able to point to a single person that they have brought to heaven with them. And to me, that's sorrowful. You understand? Something's wrong with that picture. You say, but oh, you know, I've tried talking to people. You've tried planting seed in people. Begin to cast seed and watch what seed that you're casting. Realizing that everything that you throw out is being heard. In other words, don't confuse the message. You know, if a person says, I'm sick, and you say, hey, listen, let me pray for you. That's commendable. That's grand. That's an opportunity to put the Word of God into action into their lives. But then if they turn around, somebody else turns around, and they're telling the latest dirty joke, and you jump right in there, and you're all part of that, and then you start spreading it around, it confuses people. What in the world? Again, we have an opportunity. The seed is in our hands. I put out one other thing, and that is that seed is heavier than air. And everybody says, duh. It doesn't float. It falls where it is sown. I believe the Lord is very careful in his choice in this parable to give everything within its character. When you cast seed, you can count on the fact that it is going to settle down onto the ground. Isn't that right? I believe this is indicative of the fact that the anointing of the word only lasts until it settles on a surface. You don't believe me? Buy a Bible, set it on your coffee table, and see how changed your household is. Nothing will happen. It will sit there and grow dust until you dust it. It will sit right there and it will do absolutely nothing in your home. Some think the bigger the better. You get even one of those big gigantic Bibles, family Bibles, and set it there. Will not change your home. Open it up. Begin to read it and live it. And everything changes. You see, this is the reality. We who are sowers, and that's all of us. I am in this place the sower of the seed. You are sowers as well in your whole world. Begin to think of your life in that way. I am sowing seed. And every word, every thought that comes out of my mouth is going to settle somewhere. Doesn't just float out there in the air, it's going to settle somewhere. If there's people within earshot, it will go in their ears and has the opportunity to settle into their heart, into their lives. This makes it more and more and more and more and more and more and more important that the seed that we are sowing is good seed. Let's take the last one. The soil. The soil seems to be, in many ways, the most important part of this parable. We are told that the soil is the heart. The heart. As we sow seed, it falls upon hearts. He begins to list it. I call this verse number 4, fallow. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Verse 5 and 6, I call it shallow. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had not root. Other seed was shielded. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. And then still others was yielded. Still others fell on good soil. Verse number 8, it came up and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. The sower is the same, the seed is the same, but the soil that it is received upon makes all the difference. I think sometimes, church, because of our zeal and our desire to lead certain people to the Lord, we start projecting outside our pay grade. You cannot change somebody's soil. What you and I have is the seed. And our life being affected by the seed that has fallen upon us. For instance, if we take the Word of God, now, I know, I've done enough work outside the household of faith that I know this to be an absolute. I've never in all of my life ever had a man say to me, hey, can I talk to you about the football game that happened yesterday? Never. You know what they do? You walk up to them Hey, did you see that football game? Did you watch those Colts? Boy, they make me so upset. They do great, and then they fall off at the end. Never have one of them ever said, hey, can I talk to you about this? You know what they do? They come up with what excites them, and they cast the seed. Because they're farmers who love football. Now, there's nothing wrong with football. I'm not putting football down. I'm just saying, well, come on, Christians. When are we going to get excited about the Word of God that has fallen onto our hearts? Maybe even we confess that we're blessed by it. Maybe it even has a life-changing effect upon us. What are we doing with it? Oh, thank you, God, for that seed. Let me go hide it. Or do we take it into the factory, into the place of business, or wherever we're at, and just let it come out of our mouths just like they do? But then I must apologize. You don't have to apologize for it. It's what you love, if it is what you love. Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And that should tell us something. But all the opportunity to be sowers of the seed of the Word of God onto the soil of hearts. But what if they reject it? Many will. That's what this parable is about. There are four different types of soil that the seed lands upon. And the first thing that you and I need to address is, what kind of soil do I have? In other words, is the seed of the Word of God getting into me and staying in me and producing a harvest? That's number one. But number two is realizing that as I cast the seed of the Word of God onto the soil of men and women's hearts, it's going to find one of four different types of soil. And that's what we're looking at. The variable in the kingdom is the heart. You don't know the heart of those that you're sowing to or upon. So again, cast it. Don't try to dig around and push the seed in. It's not what we're commissioned to do. Cast the seed and it will find the heart of individuals. Some people are like seed along the path, fallow. Verse 15 says, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. It's gone. Just that quick. How many have ever witnessed somebody like that? I mean, you gave them your best words. But you could tell before you ever walked away, poof, it was gone. That can get discouraging. Proverbs 28:14 says, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. The person with a hard heart, the person that's rejecting the Word of God, they are in trouble. They may not even realize they're in trouble because their life is going on smooth and everything is hunky-dory. That's a technical term. Not realizing that because of their hard heart, they're missing out on the seed of the life that God has given. Others, like seed that was sown on rocky places, I call it shallow because there's just a little bit of dirt. You know, the house that we had off of Washboard, I couldn't figure it out. I kept getting water in the basement. I climbed back in where the crawl space part was at and I began to dig and I hit stone, rock. And I realized that the water was coming down the hill on the other side of the house, going soaking down to that bedrock, running along the bedrock, and then coming right down into the basement. The only cure that I could come up with was to redirect the water because I wasn't going to stop it. Huh? Just a little bit of soil. It looked like, wow. But there was only about 6 inches of soil on top of the bedrock in underneath there. There's a lot of people, they hear the word, At once they receive it with joy. Oh, thank you so much. But since they have no root, they only last for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. That is, it doesn't take very long before the word of God gets difficult. You know why? Because it calls for some change in our lives. And if we're not willing to make the change, poof, it's gone. I see it in here. You can see it. It's fantastic. I'd love to bring some of you up here sometimes. The things that you can actually see on people's faces, on their body language, and the way that they deal with it. Some, from the very first moment, they're like that first part. They're hard. It never makes it in. They make sure that it never makes it in. Others, they receive it while they're here in this place, but before they ever make it out the back doors, it's gone. Because stuff. They haven't planted any roots. You know where you plant roots in a sanctuary? At an altar. That may surprise you, but it's true. See, here's the thing. If you walk out of here when the Lord has been dealing with your heart, and this is an absolute truth, I'll stand by it for my whole life. If you walk out of this sanctuary having been moved upon by the Holy Spirit of some truth, maybe I said it or just the Spirit said it, doesn't matter, but if the word has spoken to your heart and you walk out and have not done anything with that word, it won't be long before it's gone. Here's where you dig and get it rooted in. So what's so magical about the altar? What's so magical about the altar? Nothing. What's so powerful about the altar? Everything. Because here is where we solidify the truth. Here's where we say, okay, God, this is what I'm hearing from you. This I need to get into my life. Your Spirit has prompted me. This is for me. I need to get it into my life. I need to get some roots on this thing before I leave this place, because if I don't get some roots in it, it will be gone. Are we wise enough to understand that? Now, I say this altar, I mean, you can do the same thing, turning around and kneeling at your pew if you're intimidated by coming to the front in this big sanctuary, turning around. But I'm saying leaving this sanctuary before you have solidified the truth of the word down into your heart, pushed it down into your heart and into your life, made a determination of what it is you're going to do with that word, it will be lost to you. And it will be simply a memory. Oh, I remember when I heard the word of God, and I remember God spoke to me. What did he say? Well, I can't remember exactly. I went to West Lafayette and preached, I don't know, two years ago, I think it was, and had a water baptismal service. One of the men had gotten saved when I was there, and he wanted me to baptize him many, many years later. A fellow come walking up to me. He goes, oh, Pastor, he said, I'll never forget the message that you preached. I said, yeah, really? Cool. He said, it was, honey, what was that that he preached that made such an impact? I was accounting it to age, but it's so illustrative to what we're talking about. You know when the Word of God has touched you, when he has spoken to you. I'm telling you the absolute truth. If you don't deal with it, when you're here in the presence of the Lord and get that thing pushed down into your heart and make a resolve of what you're going to do with that word, it will be gone 10 steps past that door. receive the word or not. It's still true. Still other is like seed sown among thorns. Oh my goodness, is this one ever true? I call it shielded. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. I see this wrestling match going every single week, no matter what the size of the group. What are we going to have for lunch? What are we going to do this afternoon? Oh, we're going to Aunt Susie's. Oh, okay. What are we going to do to get to Aunt Susie's? Okay, we've got to go over there. I got to do this. And the Word of God is coming in here and going. Many times, the Lord, you know why I'm starting to do this? I'm just hoping that maybe I can get you with another gate. You know, these are gates. I'm just praying and hoping. It's hard for me. It's a discipline that I'm going to have to work through, but I'm willing to change. It's 70 years old. I'm willing to change. If this will help get the word into your lives to where it has an effect upon us. Because we need the word of God to have an effect upon us. Amen? Some of you can't even say amen to that. I'm sorry. Sad, but sorry. Everything. Last week, this week, today, lunch. And steal the word. How many times that I have watched the conviction of the Holy Spirit be upon someone's life, sometimes even with tears, sometimes with groanings, you can tell that the Spirit of the Lord is doing it. Not me, but the Spirit of the Lord is. The seed of the Word of God is touching that life. And then watch as that individual gets up and leaves the sanctuary without getting roots. And I realize it's gone. It's gone. Whatever it was, whatever they're needing to do when they get out of this house is more important than the seed that was sown in their life. How many times, Christians, are we in it, I will do it later mode with spiritual things? And the reality is, when the Lord is speaking, it needs to be a now. I would not have any problem whatsoever if the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with your heart that you would get up right in the middle of my sermon and come and find yourself a place at the altar saying, I don't want this to get away from me. I don't want the rest of Pastor Bill's message to get in the way of the truth that the Lord has just spoken into my life. I'll get excited. I'll jump up and down. I'll scream. I'll pray with you. Whatever. We'll stop the whole thing. Move to get it in to your heart, and do it quickly, because the enemy of your soul will start throwing and lobbing stuff at you. I know, 1 minute left. Hey, it's coming. Others like seed sown on good soil, yielded. I love it. They hear the word. They accept it. They produce a crop 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Praise God. See, that's what happens. That's what the Lord can do in our lives, church. That's what God wants to do in our lives. One single tidbit of truth that you hear and you know it was from the Lord for you. If you will take the moment, if you will seize that truth and plant it deep inside of you and make a resolve of what you're going to do, to answer that, it can begin to produce in your own life. And then, wow, just think about this, taking that seed and casting it out to somebody else. So not only are you blessed, but someone else can be blessed. Or maybe many people can be blessed with it. All right, here's the conclusion. Ta-da! That means we get to leave. The sower, the preacher of the gospel, the seed is the word of God. The soil is the heart of the hearer, fallow, hardened, shallow, no roots, shielded, seed choked by the cares of this life, yielded. A healthy heart produces a harvest. How about your heart? How about your heart? All the rest of the parables, all the rest of the truth that we will look at together, and as long as the Lord is unfolding these, they will only matter if your heart is ready to receive. Otherwise, it's just an exercise that we're going through and calling it church. I don't know. I hear it all the time from so many different people. They feel like that the Lord is coming back. Any of you feel that way? Feel like that the imminent return of the Lord. They look at the condition of the world and they say, oh my goodness, it looks like Jesus is going to come back anytime. What are we doing with that truth? It's one thing to believe it. It's one thing to even speak it. It's another thing to be living it. Man, we should be looking for every bit of seed that we can get to sow out to as many people as possible. I don't know about you, church. I want to see a host of people that are in heaven because I sowed. It's why I do what I do. It's why I mess with this building. It's why I keep my phone with me 24 hours a day. Because I want to see people come to know Jesus and be in heaven. Amen. Wow. How about your heart? What's it like? Which one of the four describes your heart right now? Father in heaven, I've done what you asked me to do. I've cast your seed. Here in this sanctuary and by the internet all over the world, I thank you, God, for the privilege of being a farmer in your kingdom. Casting the seed of truth onto the soil of hearts. Lord, I would pray right now for some of the seed that's even right here in this room and also that's being heard over the internet. What kind of soil is my heart? Is it so hard that the seed's just gone? Am I so shallow that I don't allow the seed to get down in and gain roots and change my life? Am I so concerned about the cares of this world, the cares of this life, and all the stuff that's going on that I cannot let your seed produce a harvest in me? God, I pray for some good hearts in here this morning. Good soil that would receive your word. Not my words, your word. Whatever you're speaking to their hearts. And may it change lives. This is your day. This is your moment. Praise you, Lord. As the one who is in charge of your heart this morning, I wonder if there are those who would slip up a hand and say, Pastor, pray with me. I need to do some work on my heart. I need to do some work on my heart. Truth is coming my way and I'm missing it. Yes, I see your hand. Someone else? No condemnation here. This is a place of love. place of desire. Anybody else? You say, I need to do some work on my heart this morning. I'm going to invite you, I'll be very plain, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and deal with this before the Lord. Wherever you're at, just get up and come to the altar. You say, well, I want to do it invisibly. There is no invisibly. This is real. If the Lord is dealing with you this morning, come. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Julia, do you actually have a song in there? Is there a song? Are you playing a song? Play a song. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you would minister to these who have come to this altar this morning, that you would do a work in them, help them as they would push the seed down into the soil, that it might produce the harvest in their life. I pray your blessing over each and every one as we go forth from this house, that your grace and your mercy and your peace would go with us. And help us, Lord, to remember we are in charge of the soil. We decide when the seeds of truth will be planted. And also, Lord, help us to realize we hold the seed. May we be willing this week to cast it out, that some life might be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning. If you would be reverent as you leave the sanctuary for these who are praying, seeking the Lord.